You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Soon after it was founded in 1821, the Boulanger House became one of the most respected champagne producers in the world. And whether you call it Boulanger or Bollinger, it's also one of the most prestigious. James Bond drank it in most of the Bond films. Six generations after its creation, Ghislain de Montgolfier is the chairman of Champagne Bollinger House, and he joins me now to talk about sparkling wines and changes in the Champagne region in France. Bienvenue, Monsieur Montgolfier. I screwed it up. Montgolfier. How do you pronounce the name of the house? Or do you just cheat like so many fans do and call it Bali?
Yeah, it's, I mean, it should be Bollinger.
Really? It should be Bollinger.
From Germany. It's a German name. And Bollinger in most countries. And I prefer Bolly.
Well, but the British really are the ones who have defined this house because they've adopted it as their own, haven't they?
Yeah, is it quite true? Somebody told us that it's a British company who belongs to French people.
Queen Victoria loved it.
Yeah, she does.
And I understand that it was served at the bachelor party for Prince Charles. Unfortunately, yeah. That was he married Princess Diana, but we won't talk about that. It's also one of the only remaining family-owned top champagne houses. How far removed are you from Jacques Bollinger, the founder? Or Bollinger?
It's a great-great-grandfather by my mother's side.
Uh-huh. So you're his great-great-grandson.
Yeah.
Was he from the Champagne area?
No, he came from Germany.
So how did he wind up making sparkling wines?
Because the guy was a good idea. He had a good idea. He said, champagne may be something fashion. So he came to Champagne, and he met a guy who was the owner of a land and a small quantity of champagne. And after, he married the daughter.
Uh-huh.
But don't laugh. It's a love story, a business story, but I'm a great grandfather and mother, so I hope it was something about love.
Well, I wasn't suggesting otherwise, and I'm sure they drank champagne at the wedding. But don't most champagne makers buy grapes from various vineyards rather than grow it themselves?
Yeah, in Champagne you have to realize that 90% of the land of the vineyard belongs to small growers, only 10% to the houses.
But in your case, you grow most of your own grapes?
Yeah, it's a big difference. We have 6 or 7 times more of our own grapes, and between 60 and 70% of what we need comes from our own vineyards.
And that's something that started with Jacques?
Yes, yes. We choose to buy a vineyard more than wine.
You buy the vineyard first, and then you because part of making wine is farming, isn't it? Many winemakers have told me that that's the major factor, although I'd imagine with champagne, because of all the other stuff, getting the bubbles to work and all the other things, so that it is less about farming than, let's say, a Burgundy or a Bordeaux.
Yeah, that's right. In one way, it's less because it's a double fermentation. So we make a wine and then another kind of wine. So we are far from the grape. But we still think that if we can manage the grape, and manage the grape, the most important point is to harvest it. If you get the right moment to harvest your grape, in my opinion, you get a better wine. And with good grapes, you always make a good wine.
Hasn't Champagne gotten drier over the years? When 179 years ago, it would have been a sweet wine, wouldn't it?
That's right. It was a sweet wine. And Bollinger used to be one of the first dry one. His reputation is, we said we had the English taste, and we are very proud. We said that England adopt our taste, but it's more we had the English taste.
So the English kept on saying, well, we don't like it that sweet. Can you make it drier?
Yeah.
And sec, which means dry, is still not all that dry. You have to go even further to brut to have really dry champagne.
And some of our wine are, some of them are extra brut. That means such as tiny sugar doses.
And I know that in recent years, Russia has become a major buyer of champagne in a way that it wasn't during all the communist years. But champagne used to be big in Russia, where they like it very sweet. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it was the case. I was impressed when another company was very famous, gave the figure how sweet it was for the Tsar between 1917. It was 10 times sweeter than our champagne now. Incredible high.
And when did that change? Was that in the somewhere in the late 19th century?
I think it is a British taste we at the end won. Because if you're a wine lover, if it's too sweet, you cannot taste the real wine. You taste the sugar. The sugar is part of the taste, but...
And the bubbles seem almost superfluous when it's really sweet.
Yeah, and the bubble, yeah, the bubble coming.
In 1941, Madame Lily Bollinger took over the company after the death of her husband. Was it unusual at that time for a woman to be the head of a winery?
Yeah, she has no knowledge about businesses. I was told that even if she cannot know how to sign a check.
She knew nothing, and suddenly nothing. She had to take over a business.
She took over, but in the champagne business, there are a lot of widows. That means it's very dangerous for the chairman, because if they are widow, that means the chairman passed.
But she is famous for saying, I drink it when I'm happy and when I'm sad. Sometimes I drink it when I'm alone. When I have company, I consider it obligatory. I trifle with it if I'm not hungry, and I drink it when I am. Otherwise, I never touch it unless I'm thirsty. Well, I wish that I could afford to be like that. Has champagne always been fairly expensive?
Yes. And the really first time, it was so incredibly expensive that nobody can buy it. It was just a wine for kings, queens, and mistresses.
And that's because of the complicated process?
Yeah.
Or and limited number of grapes?
I think it's more the process, to handle the process, to find the right grapes, the right maturity. And in our cellar, we used to lose half of our bottle.
Really? Because they spoiled?
Yeah, because...
But now with modern techniques, I'd imagine that's not the case.
We manage. We only have few bottles we use to explode.
But all wines, there's always a chance that a few are going to go bad. That's just because wine is a living food.
Yes. I do agree what you said. What is interesting with wine is still living, even in the bottle.
My guest is Ghislain de Montgolfier, who's chairman of the Champagne Bollinger House. And we're talking about champagne at a time when things are changing in the champagne area in many different ways. First of all, less is coming to the United States. Is that because of the weaker dollar?
Yes, it's a difficult point because dollar is quite weak and your economy is not at its peak. That means there are two reasons for a problem of cost and pricing. But we still want to sell to your country because it's the first country now if you take a range who is buying fine wine. Now, United States is the first buyer. So this time is not easy for us.
But I imagine new markets opening as more people become affluent in Russia and in China. More champagne will go there as it went to Japan.
Yes, but if you take, I don't want to say a small company as our, a middle-sized company as our company, we used to sell in 100 countries. But we don't want to put all our eggs in the same basket. And so we still want to sell in the United States in the right way.
Well, there's a problem. Maybe the dollar will get stronger and you won't have as much of an issue there. At the same time, demand for champagne seems to have increased to the point where the Champagne region is being expanded. Now, what does that mean? Is the land around where the official area for champagne the same as the land that is producing champagne these days?
Yeah, it's a bit complicated. But you have to understand that the natural area now is fixed by law of 1927. So at this time, we fixed about 55,000 hectares. And only at this time we have planted 10,000. So that means it was more a legal area. And now we move slowly to 35,000 hectares for technical reason. But now we realize that we are at the end of the process. So we have to find new hectares and the same area.
So you're expanding the amount of land that can be used to make grapes that are called officially champagne, because there are many sparkling wines out there, and many are made in the champagne method. Some of them are pretty good as well, some pretty good sparkling wines from Spain and Italy and the United States. Why would you say people should drink champagne that comes from Champagne?
Because if you, I'm a man from technology, the way we are working is quite specific. Even they use the double fermentation. I agree with you, there are a lot of good sparkling wine all around the world. But the real champagne is something lighter. So why the area we are working in is be better? Because we choose to review. So two of our villages now will be out. So we put 40 villages new into the area and two out. That means we asked experts to do the business. So modern expert will give a better area that we did in 1927. So the average quality of grapes will increase.
Now, you make your champagne mostly from Pinot Noir grapes. They're red grapes, but you make a white, it's a golden yellow wine. That's called Blanc de Noir?
That's called Blanc de Noir. And most of the champagne is quite bizarre, is from black grapes. The Pinot Noir were the only grapes used at the beginning of Champagne story.
And now they use Chardonnay as
well.
Use
Chardonnay. We about...
So the two grapes from Burgundy wind up in a very different area making a very different kind of wine.
Yeah. But the grapes, the base grape are the same.
Although, for some reason, the bubbly was created naturally, wasn't it, because of the cool weather in the north?
Yeah, you're right. It was the cool weather. So we have problem. We have to fight. Forget the white. Go back to Pinot Noir, the main grape we had. So we have to fight against Burgundy. And so our color, well, not such a color, well, a deep pink or light red. And we have problem with the temperature to keep the wine aging. So what was a disaster from a change to be something very, very nice for us.
And we appreciate it every time I celebrate, and even when I'm not celebrating, but I'm lucky enough to be drinking a good champagne. I thank Champagne for having those problems with its red wines and coming up with what it's come up with. And my great thanks to you, Ghislain de Montgolfier, who's chairman of Champagne Bollinger House, for coming by to talk to us about champagne and changes in the Champagne region.
Thanks for your radio.